Lord God, we ask your blessing upon this word and upon this gospel for our Lord Jesus Christ's sake, Father. We ask you to give us your blessing and the power of the Spirit that you do for us what we cannot do for ourselves, that you would bring conviction for our Lord Jesus Christ's sake. Amen. Good morning or evening unto you. I want to bring a message of the gospel. It's taken from the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 32, verse number 39. God help us. Send the power of your Holy Spirit for the Lord Jesus Christ's sake. Good morning or good evening. I want to bring you a message of the gospel that's taken from the book of Deuteronomy, chapter number 32 and verse number 39. And so while you're either turning or preparing yourself, let me give you the backdrop of this message. I have been corresponding occasionally with someone that's really been really challenging the absolute sovereignty of God. And what that means is his rule over the coronavirus. The fact that he sits upon the throne and that there is no evil in this world that's outside of his will. And so God has two wills. Is he has a will of command. He says, repent and believe his gospel. But he also has what we call a permissive will. And what this means is that everything that happens is according to the will of God in its absolute purpose, in his absolute sovereignty. It's to exercise his wrath upon some. That's why sin came into this world. And it's to exercise his mercy upon other people. That's from Romans 9, verse 22 and verse number 23. But this particular man, this friend, I'd like to call him, and I want to call him brother one day, is offended that God would rule over rapes and over murders. And he, like many of you, he wants God to be this itty-bitty tiny thing that only wants to do good, but he is powerless to stop evil, but he has to come in afterward and try to clean up. But that's not the God of the Bible, who ordained all things, who predestines men to everlasting life. So let's look at this text in Deuteronomy chapter number 32. And I'm not pleased with this false god. I'm not pleased with this idol, because it takes away the glory of God, one, and it destroys the souls of men, too, and it doesn't give anybody any hope. I don't have any hope in a powerless God. I need a God that is actually ruling and reigning over the greatest evil in this world, and he has purposed it to turn it unto good. That's the first thing I thought as the coronavirus came, is that God is doing good. He's saving his people. He's humbling the pride of man. He is staining the pride of man. It's a good thing for God to humble us. As a person was contacting me on my WhatsApp talking about, you know, praying for America. And I'm, you know, that's great. He calls America and my friends back home, he needed to be humbled. And we needed to be brought back to the old truth that the Bible says that God's in charge. And look what it says from Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse number 9. It's a very strong and plain verse. See now that I alone am he. This is God talking. There is no God but me. The devil is not a rival God. That's what people think, is that there's actually two gods, and then our God is a little bit stronger, but this other God is super strong, and he has a will of his own, and he does things, and then our God has to come in, and he has to try to fix it. No, 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 no. And what the Bible says in 1 Peter 1 is that the Lamb was slain from before the foundation of the world. That means that the original plan A of God was the salvation of sinners in Christ who had fallen of our own will under the curse of his wrath. And the devil was not exercising some type of a mini sovereignty as he came into the garden and deceived Eve and Adam. He was doing according to the will of him who sits on the throne right now at the right hand of God. Let me just read you that in 1 Peter 1, verse number 20. It talks about Christ, that our redemption is through the precious blood of Christ. Verse number 19, like of a lamb that's without blemish or spot, a perfect lamb, a perfect sacrifice, a perfectly just and upright God, a holy God. He, our Lord Jesus Christ, was ordained, was foreordained before the foundation of the world. He was ordained to suffer. He was ordained to die. He was ordained to redeem his people from our sin before a sin was ever committed. And so what is being said is it's not that God has made Adam sin. No, that would make God unjust. But it's God in the creation of Adam and giving him this free will allowed the devil to come and tempt him, not to prove how strong man is. That's not what salvation's about, but to prove how merciful God is to a sinner that's fallen into the bondage and captivity of sin. And let me remind you that the will of man is not free, oh. The will of man is held in bondage to his corruptions. He is a slave of sin. He is free to walk around his prison cell, but he's not free to get himself out. Salvation's of the Lord. And here is the problem. Men are trying to exalt the will of man instead of the glory of the mercy and of the grace of God. And what you end up with as we do that is the idolatry of a God who cannot do anything unless man gives him permission. And do you know that men actually preach that? Bowles Monroe, the pastor who died in a plane crash, he preached that God had no authority on earth except what men gave him. And he died like that. That's not how me and you want to leave this planet at all. God does as he pleases. He rules this world absolutely 100% at all times. This verse back to Deuteronomy chapter number 32 says that I bring death and I give life. He's not standing by on the sideline as to when the devil does all of the evil that's in this world. It was God who cursed Adam, not Satan. It was God who said, in the day you eat, you shall surely die. It was God that brought our brother Job into the mind of the devil and said, have you considered my servant Job? Have you been thinking about him? Have you considered him Satan? And then it was the devil that said, oh, well, you just are protecting him. Let me smite him. And the Lord God said, he's in your hands. Just don't take his life. That's sovereignty. That's God. That's who's in control of the evil in this world and the good. I bring death and give life. I wound. I send this coronavirus. It's not the devil unless God gives him permission to do it. And how about rapes? And how about child molestation? And all of these false prophets? This is a horrible thing. But all things work together for good to them that love God. Let's just understand this, what me and you actually deserve as to what I'm worthy of is everlasting hell. I'm worthy of the wrath of God. I'm worthy to meet him in judgment and have to pay forever for my sin. That's what I deserve. And for God to orchestrate everything to save my soul, he'll do it for you too if you believe. Anybody, whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And I remember, this was maybe 10 years ago, I was under the bondage of my sin and I was angry at God. And I was complaining and I was murmuring and I was very bitter and I wanted to walk away from Christ. And here's what I told him. I said this: it's not fair that you made me to come into this world, created in my father Adam, to fall into sin, to be born with a sin nature that loves sin. And I was saying, well, yeah, I can understand I ought not to go rape and murder, but you're asking me to resist my own nature and to strive to please God in a world that I did not ask to come into, and you'll burn me in hell forever if I don't comply? And I was angry. But he led me into Romans 9, and he showed me that there are vessels of wrath prepared unto destruction. Verse 22. I see you, Brother Chris. And that there are vessels of mercy which he prepared unto glory. And he taught me by those verses. I had a decision. I could argue with God and perish forever. What would it do? Or I could bow down and take his mercy and be in paradise forever and ever with a body that doesn't have any more sin if I just forsook my sin for a tiny season. And he made me able to weigh it out. I could be rebellious and enjoy my sin and spend my eternity in hell, or I could forsake my sin, trust God. He saved me from sin. And then you know what he did? He he brought me into Romans chapter 4, verse 5 again. And he said that he justifies the ungodly. And so this wretched sinner was forgiven. And the joy and the peace and the reconciliation and the power of the Spirit returned, and the yoke was broken. But the thing I'm saying is that if we bow unto his sovereignty, he will save us. If we do not, he's going to damn our soul. And that's forever. No one. Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse 39. No one can rescue anyone from my hand. That's the Almighty God talking. I beg you to trust Christ. He's not going to change his character for nobody. He's not going to become small. He's going to be a great God and Savior. In the book of John, chapter number 17, verse number 2, puts it like this. Now, he could not save us if he didn't uncontrol everything. If God is not in charge, why pray to him to save anybody? Because he has no power to do anything. You might as well pray to them only. But it's because he's in charge that we pray not only for open doors, but that he saves sinners, that he send the word with power, that he send conviction. He's got power. I was reading that in a sermon this morning by a brother, R.A. Torrey, that the Holy Spirit's able to convict anybody. That's our hope. That's why we go preaching. And the Lord Jesus, he put it like this. As he was praying this high priestly prayer that unfolds all of the eternal purpose of God in John chapter 17, verse number 2, he says, "For you gave him," he's speaking of himself, "this son, the son of his glory, authority or power over all flesh." And so why is it that the Lord Jesus Christ has power over everything, over every man, every woman, every devil, every disease, every hurricane, every flood? He got power over death. He has power of life. He has power over sickness. Why does our Lord Jesus Christ, who's been resurrected from the dead, have this authority? So that he may give eternal life to all you have given. I mean, this gets deep now, but this means that even on the slave ship that took my parents to the United States, he did not let something happen to my father that I would die and not ever be born, or I would be born in West Africa and remain up under the authority of Islam. There are people in northern Nigeria right now, and it breaks my heart to see these girls, 8, 9 years old, putting on makeup because they're trying to catch a husband at age 8 and 9. I've never seen anything like it in my life, but that's their culture. That's how they were born. That's how they were reared up. And my ancestry brought me to the U.S. to hear the gospel and then come back and preach unto them. But he had power over the slave master that my parents weren't raped and committed suicide or killed. I had to be born because I'm elect, and he had to save my soul. He put it in the book of life. But the point is, he has to rule everything. How can he let sickness or the coronavirus stop his plan? If there's a person that's supposed to be in the book of life, he's got to control it before it ever gets started. He's not playing catch up. No way, not God. It's impossible to be God and to not know everything and control absolutely everything at all times. That's not God. That's a little river god. That's an idol. Ephesians 1, verse number 11. We also have obtained an inheritance in Christ Jesus, being predestined. That means that my journey from start to finish is ordered by God to bring me to everlasting bliss. And so he chose us in Christ, and then he ordained every wind that would blow in our face, lest some sand would go into my eye and I crash my car. And even as I was playing with death, his angels had their charge concerning me. He predestined according to his purpose of the one, but this is what I'm saying here, who works out everything after the counsel of his own will. Thank you, Brother Larry. I look forward to seeing you too. I'll be back in October, Lord willing. And that whole statement, the Lord willing, has more meaning now, I'm sure, for everybody. It's true. He's on the throne, and he does as he pleases all of the time. And we are controlled by his will, and it's not our own planning. That's one of the first lessons of the coronavirus. I should never boast and say, I would do this, that, and the other. All of us should say, at least in our heart, if the Lord will. But he's saying here that he works all things. That is the fall of man. That's the hurricanes. That's the work of the devil himself. After the counsel of his own will, for the purpose of saving his predestined people. That's why Brother Job had to endure that great trial. It was not because Job was any less than anybody else. He was the best man on earth for a reason. It was God who raised up Job. That's grace. And it was God who allowed the devil to take Job down so that you and I could hear about the patience of Job and say, wow, I need to trust God and keep my mouth shut from all murmuring at all times, because God is always right. He's full of love. He's full of power. He's full of majesty. And that's what I want you to do in this time of the coronavirus. And that's why God was telling us in Deuteronomy chapter number 32, verse number 39, see now that I alone am he, and there is no God but me. I don't have any rivals. And the devil is not a rival. He's a creature that's going to be cast into hell at the exact time that's been appointed by God. I bring death and I give life. I wound and I heal. No one can rescue anyone from my hand. If you look at the context of Deuteronomy chapter number 32, it's the reason our God is saying that is to trust you. He's saying, look at me. He's saying, as to when your trouble comes, don't run here, there, and everywhere. Run to me. I'm in charge of it. I've got my foot on your neck. I've got your arm twisted. I'm the one that's making you feel this pain, that you might cry out to me. And I'm doing this to strip you of this false confidence. How has it been with you in these days of the coronavirus? I know people have lost jobs and have lost their family members and have had exceeding pain. Has it caused you and me to look unto Christ? I know that men's hearts are in fear all over this globe. But I don't want us to run off to an idol, to a fake God, who's not the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, whose hands are tied behind his back, and he's just in the corner. Oh, look what Satan's doing. He's destroying my plan. I just want to do all this good, and the devil won't let me. Satan is a created being, is a creature that's on a chain according to the Revelation chapter 20. And then at the end of time, at the end of days, he's let off his chain for a season to deceive the nations, that God might come as his church is surrounded by unbelief, idolatry, and lying signs and wonders, and deliver us into heaven, cast the enemies into hell unto the glory of his name. He is not out of control. He's accomplishing God's purpose. A coronavirus is not out of control. It's accomplishing God's purpose. So I'm asking you to trust him. I'm asking you to give him glory. I'm asking you not to deny his sovereignty. Don't create a little God because you're scared. What we need is the big God. It's the real God that controls everything. And if we put our confidence in him, we trust him, we follow him, we preach his word, we declare his sovereignty, and we love people unto bringing them unto the truth of the gospel of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. If we do that, brothers, it shall be well with our soul, and our time here, it shall be over soon, and we'll enter our everlasting rest. That's our job. So who's in control of the evil in the world? Not who's doing it. It's the hand of Satan. He is reserved in chains of darkness by God until the judgment of the great day. And he's fighting against God, but he's losing every battle. But the one who controlled him, even when he nailed our Lord and Savior on the cross, this is something that Vianney and I were actually rejoicing in. If the devil had been able to understand Scripture, he would never have crucified Christ. He would have been hands off. Because he would have known that a redemption accomplished at Calvary's tree would justify God to forgive our sin, and he would never have touched him. But in his malice, his envy, his hatred, he murdered him through Judas and the priest and the crowd and Pilate. And so all mankind turned their hands down against him. But God raised him up from the dead. That's the greatest evil that ever happened in this world. But it was for God's glory. There's another story, and I'm almost done here, but it's a man named Pastor Henry Mahan. And you can listen to his sermons on Sermon Audio. He passed away just maybe 2 to 3 years ago. But he was preaching from like 1950 up until the early 90s, strong. And his son was killed in 1969 in Vietnam. And one of the free will preachers who hated him called him after his son was killed. And you know what he said? Where is your God now? And you know what Henry said? He's in the same place he was when his son died on the throne. Now that's comfort. That's peace in the hard times. That is joy in the wisdom of God's character, his love, his kindness, his redemption. That's the truth. That's the attitude that will save your everlasting soul. So think great thoughts about God and believe him for who he truly is. Bow down to him. You will be saved. He will give you the comfort. He will give you the peace. He will give you power over sin. He will bring you and me to paradise when this is all over with. And the Lord bless you for our Lord Jesus Christ's sake. Amen. Believe his gospel.